Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Fine, Mike.
Gallstones fairly common in our patients. Gallstones are a mixture of cholesterol, calcium salts, and bilirubinate. Cholesterol stones usually form in people with a genetic or environmental predisposition to bile that is supersaturated with cholesterol. There are black pigment stones. These result from hemolysis. And brown pigment stones associated with bacterial infections or perhaps parasitic infections involving the biliary system. We're told that the majority of patients with asymptomatic gallstones do not require any treatment. But what about patients with symptomatic gallstones who are unable or unwilling to undergo removal of the gallbladder, a cholecystectomy? Are they candidates for non-surgical management? While the non-surgical approaches are hypothetically safer, requiring obviously no incision or anesthesia or the like, there are three inherent disadvantages. They're labor-intensive, they're mainly situated for primary cholesterol stones, and they often have high rates of recurrence. The main modalities for non-surgical treatment of gallbladder disease include oral dissolution therapy with bile acids, percutaneous cholecystectomy, and a stone extraction. You found an article, a poem that you're going to review for us. It was published in BMJ at the end of 2023. It asks the clinical question, is it safe to watch patients with symptomatic gallstone disease who have no complications? Are we taking a risk here? Or is this a safe thing, Mark?
Yeah, it's an interesting study because, you know, as you said, we always think of symptomatic gallstones is probably, and if a person's a good surgical candidate, being an indication for removal. But they what they did in this British study was they took 434 adults. They all had uncomplicated, and that's important to point out, uncomplicated symptomatic gallstones. So they didn't have any evidence of infection or perforation or anything like that or obstruction. They'd all been referred to a specialist, presumably a surgeon or a gastroenterologist. They were then randomized to either conservative management with just pain relievers, basically, or to laparoscopic choli. Patients were excluded, again, if they had complicated disease like stones or pancreatitis or jaundice or infection. Over the next 18 months, a total of 67% who were assigned to surgery, but only 25% assigned to conservative management, ended up getting surgery. So about 40% were able to avoid surgery during those next 18 months, 40% more, I should say. The intention to treat analysis showed that pain scores over the 18 months were similar in both groups. Quality of life, measured by quality adjusted life years, was also similar between groups. In the UK, the initial assignment to the conservative approach saved 1,300 pounds, which is about like 1,000 pounds, just over $1,300. I bet that would be a larger savings in the U.S., where I think we spend more on a lap coli than they do in the U.K. So bottom line, patients with uncomplicated gallstones can be managed over time with analgesia and monitoring, but about a quarter will eventually undergo cholecystectomy in the next year and a half. So I think the bottom line, sort of the take home for me, is there's no rush to surgery in these patients. We can see how they do. There certainly was no evidence of more complications or mortality or hospitalizations or anything like that. And many of them will continue to do well, and they may prefer pain meds over surgery. So that becomes, I think, maybe a little bit better option than we used to think it was.
Yeah, with regard to the price, I mean, the $1,300 is pretty much what an emergency department out here on the West Coast charges for a CBC.
Yeah.
You know, it is, at least in my patients, I tend to move more toward the surgery once they've had recurrent attacks, and it looks like this is going to be a repetitive thing.
Yes, sounds good. I think you're right, and I think they didn't break it down that I could find by the number of recurrences that occurred and did, but I suspect that patients who were having a higher number of recurrences or more severe recurrences were maybe the ones who chose surgery, which would make sense.
Great, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.